Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, December 9th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 74, the first paragraph that begins with, "If we cannot or would rather not," and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shelley E. for the 12 Steps, Jean J. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Kathy Jo P., Dawn B., and Marcella M. The share ID for Sunday, December 8th, the special edition, is 13,776, 13776. And for this morning's December 9th, 7 a.m. Easter Time meeting is 13,781. 13781. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mo H., and Reggie O. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Shelley E., if you would please read the 12 steps for us.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thanks for your service. Good morning, friends. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. And Jean J., would you read the 12 traditions, please? Jean, can you press star 1 to unmute? Not hearing you, Jean. Marcella, are you there? Can you read the traditions?
There we go. Can you hear me?
Oh, you got, okay, there you are, Jean. Go ahead, thanks.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, Jean J., Portland, Oregon. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, OA should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Jean J. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 74, the first paragraph, if we cannot or would rather not, and we'll be reading on that one paragraph only. So good morning, Kathy Jo P., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, this is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. If we cannot or would rather not do this, we search our acquaintance for a close mouth, understanding friend. Perhaps our doctor or psychologist will be the person. It may be one of our own family, but we cannot disclose anything to our wives or to our parents which will hurt them and make them unhappy. We have no right to save our own skin at another person's expense. Such parts of our story we tell to someone who will understand, yet be unaffected. The rule is we must be hard on ourselves, but always considerate of others. So, Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis, and I have done many fifth steps and many fourth steps. I was in program for about 7 years, left for about 22, and came back to the rooms at a weight of 303 pounds in 2012. And I continued to do four and fives. And I never went past this. But I can tell you today, I've gone past this. I went all the way through the steps, and I continue to go through the steps. And I came to this phone meeting in 2016, June 26, 2016. And I was gifted with total abstinence and have been abstinent since then. And I continue to do this work. And every time I do this work, I get blessed all over again. So on Saturday, I did a fifth step with my closed mouth understanding friend, who is my sponsor here in Minnesota. I have done three fifth steps with her. And this one, you know, took an hour and a half because it was not a huge list. What jumps out at me today is the rule is we must be hard on ourselves. I never even noticed that before, and it's highlighted in my book. That's hilarious. But I went in mad at my brother. And my brother, in my opinion, did not show up enough for me when I had my open heart surgery. And the two things I want to mention with that is I conveniently forgot the morning of my surgery he sent me a very tender message with a song he wanted me to listen to that was meaningful to us as kids. And I forgot about that. And I didn't remember until I did this work. And that's because my brain was filled with gunk and yuck, and I could not see the sunlight of the Spirit. And the other thing at the very end, my sponsor looked at me and said, "It sounds like you want him to make you feel special. Do you make him feel special?" I left that meeting with my sponsor feeling happy, joyous, and free, and realizing, just for today, I get to work on helping my brother feel special. And I extended that to my sister, my husband, and my two children. I am so excited for this continued work and all the ways that I can be free and be connected to the sunlight of the Spirit so that I can have the power that I need in order to recover from this disease. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. Okay, who else would like to share on page 74, the first paragraph, if we cannot or would rather not?
Mariana Davis. Oops, Mariana D.
Mariana D.
Mariana D. Melanie C.
Who was that? Naomi C.
Melanie.
Oh, Melanie. Oh, sorry, Melanie. Okay.
Jean J.
Okay, two people came in. Who were they?
Kat K.
Kat K.
Shelly C. R.
Shelly C. R. I can take one more.
Freya H.
Was that Freya H?
That's right.
Okay. Okay, I have Mariana D, Melanie C, Jean J, Kat K, Shelly CR, and Freya H. So go ahead, Mariana. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Kathleen. This really resonated with me today, and it was the same sentence as was mentioned earlier, the heart on ourselves and considerate of others. And when I first heard that, I kind of thought, kind of just be really tough on yourself. And what I've come to realize in program is the hard for me now is just really honest. Be honest with yourself. And that to me is huge, because when you're honest with yourself, and for me, it needs to be in a really loving way, then for me, that's when like I can really look at things and have that clarity. And I don't know why, but in the last few weeks, that clarity has been coming. And things that may have annoyed me about other people, I'm actually seeing those things, but kind of lovingly in myself. And that has been huge for me, because to me, that's kind of been, that's been growth. It's been being able to look at those things and be kind of curious about them. Like, yeah, I see that in myself. And to me, when shame and negativity and those things come into my heart, I kind of close down. And when there's a like a peaceful clarity of what's going on, then I can really look at it, and that's where I grow. And so this is huge, because I was talking to a fellow the other day, and I was thinking about how I used to get satisfaction. And I used to think it came from, especially this time of year, making lists and crossing things off the list, and how many things can I accomplish, and I'll feel peace once the gifts are bought, or the party is planned, or the house is clean. And it was always like tasks. And what I love about this program is in the morning, the first thing I do is my morning meditation, and I'm able to listen. And I'm able to have that. This came up for me today in my meditation. It's that peaceful clarity. And I love those two words, because that's what I want. And I don't get that from marking things off a list. I get the peaceful clarity by listening and by being led and by being kind to other people and to myself and being honest. So this really goes with, this all ties in today with our reading for me. So for me, it's honest, gentle, kind, loving toward others and toward myself. Thank you.
Ta-ta. Thank you, Mariana D. Okay, Melanie C., it is your turn, followed by Jean J.
Hi, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Oh, I just love the way this whole paragraph was kicked off today. It just moved me so much the way that it was introduced by Kathy Jo, and I wanted to be able to share my experience too. And then the beat just keeps going on. I'm very touched this morning. Grateful to be here. If we cannot or would rather not do this, I had I too have gone through the opportunity to do many fifth steps as I continue to dig deeper into this life and sort things out with God. And the first go around, I remember it very, very clearly. And the second go around, I remember very, very clearly. And I spent a lot of time writing my inventory, edited, to be very careful about who was going to hear this sort of thing and also to impress and please. And that's something I do not recommend whatsoever. But the first one was that there was something on there that I didn't even want to look at it myself. I would almost like physically close my eyes to make it go away, like a little kid does, you know, pull the blankets over your head and it's not there. And I didn't know how on earth I was going to tell my sponsor this thing. It was awful. And I was so excited when I read this clause that said I can go and tell somebody else and then she wouldn't have to know that part about me. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't have to admit it out loud to somebody that was going to see me on a regular basis and know me and maybe, you know, other people might know too. And I just was relieved by that idea. Yet somehow, some way, I didn't think that it was full disclosure. And I'm just talking about me here. It wasn't full disclosure. And so I visited about, not the specifics of it, but the intent to go talk to somebody else with a couple of other people that I had come to be a part of my network. And they were very loving and kind about it and suggested that what I was about to do was clearly supportive and I would still have my spiritual awakening. So not to feel like I was hiding something, but something inside me felt like I was. And yet one of them ultimately said, what I would be doing here is building relationships so that someone, somehow, some way that would see me, would see me, would see me. And not judge me, you know, and not treat me differently after that. And what a beautiful opportunity to fully and rightly disclose myself to somebody that I would see every day. I've never had that experience before. I'm a cut and runner, absolutely a cut and runner. So I cried a lot and I was scared a lot. And I cried a lot, and I was scared a lot, and I finally just stumbled and stammered and said, I'm so afraid to tell you this. I just need to tell you this.
Fine, please.
And it was a huge turning point in my life. Thank you so much. And I just highly recommend that kind of prayerful consideration about that particular way in which it dilutes and removes the shame and the guilt from these kinds of things. Thanks, Kathleen, for the extra seconds. I pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. Okay, Jean J., you're up, followed by Kat K. We're not hearing you, Jean. Star one to unmute.
How about now?
Okay, there you are. Go ahead. Well, we heard about how about now, and now we don't hear you again.
Okay, here I am, perhaps.
Okay.
You hear
Go
me?
Go ahead.
All yeah. right. Sorry about that. Yeah. So the line in the paragraph that resonated with me was not be disclosing anything that would make anyone unhappy. And, you know, it harkens to me about the line in the big book about the tornado, how the tornado is stopped. And when I'm in my tornado phase, why, never mind anybody else and their happiness, it's all about me. But in recovery, the opposite side of the spectrum gets to emerge. And it reminds me of an Iroquois saying, think for yourself and act for the good of the group. And the way it's worked in my life is that as long as I'm hanging out at the end of the branch in active addiction, why, I'm so needy and just never mind anybody else. But when I somehow have enough pain to come in and put my arms around that trunk and hook up to my higher power, as it were, using the metaphor, why, I discover that I've got eternal and abundant kindness and generosity to share with others. And, you know, it's the ride of my life, and I'm so grateful to be here with all of you exploring this miracle. And Jean J., Portland, Oregon, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jean J. Okay, Kat K., your turn, followed by Shelley C.R.
Kat K. here. May I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, perfect. Kat K. here, compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service today. I really wanted to share on this because when the reader started reading, I thought immediately, well, I'm always hard on myself. I think I'm the hardest person on myself. But then I started to think in the context that it was written with the fifth step specifically, and it made me realize in my fifth as well as my daily 10th step that being hard on myself means that I focus on the fourth column of what is my part? What have I done? Why has a specific relationship or interaction or whatever it may be that's on my 10th step for that day or my fifth step, what is it that's triggering me that has nothing to do with that other person but has to do with me and my character defects? So for me, that's what it means to be hard on myself. And for me, to be honest about what my part is and to focus less on the other person's action. And the recurring theme for me over and over again is if I care so much about what others think of me, like the self-seeking piece is just so big. And whenever I feel that set in, I know that I lose my ability to put up boundaries. And for me, being hard on myself is treating myself with the dignity that I need to build the appropriate boundaries for me to feel safe and that I too have the right to have, you know, expectations, boundaries, and like a relationship is like an arrangement between two people, and I also have a right to have a say in that. And so being hard on myself is treating myself with enough dignity, respect, kindness, and love to see myself as worthy enough to do what I need to so that I don't have to put said individual back on that column again to come back to that fourth column with the same results over and over. And that's what I think it means to be hard on myself. It ultimately means to have loving and tolerance towards myself as well and not to just beat myself up over and over an interaction. So I just wanted to share that because that's what kind of came to mind with me as the reader read. And thank you again for your service. And I hope you all have a wonderful, blessed day.
Thank you, Kat K. Okay, Shelley C.R., you're up, followed by Freya H.
Hi, this is Shelley C.R. from Minnesota. Once again, I get to join you because it's snowing so much that I can't go to work. So I am very excited to be able to be here and be part of the live meeting. And it's so wonderful as we're focusing on step five. And I'm currently doing my step four. And so, but when I previously did step five and thinking about this part, about looking at sharing all of the my defects of character with someone else, you know, it was a really, really scary process. And this part that it says, you know, telling someone who will understand yet be unaffected, and that's what I found in my sponsor and in previous sponsors that I've had, I'm able to do that. They have shown me such a level of acceptance and unconditional love that I hadn't previously experienced. the real part that I want to talk about is the rule is we must be hard on ourselves, but always considerate of others. And I remember, you know, when I was growing up, and, you know, the golden rule, treat others as you would like to be treated. And I was always really hard on myself. So I took the golden rule and spun it in my crazy, messed up head that that meant that I could be hard on others as well. And that, you know, since I was hard on myself, that was only fair. And that made me a real bitch. And so, you know, friendships were sometimes tenuous. Relationships with certain family members were difficult. And I was really hard on people. And this program has taught me that, yes, I need to look at my side of the street. And when I think about being hard on myself, I think about it more in the sense of being brutally honest with myself and really looking internally at what is kind of causing those defects of character, what beliefs I have, what resentments I'm holding on to, what fears are coming forth. And so the fourth step has taught me how to look into those things, and then I'm able to release them with the fifth step. And so my focus now is being able to pay attention to my side of the street, and I'm not taking anyone else's inventory, which allows me to be a lot more considerate of others. It allows me to have compassion and empathy, and has benefited in the relationships that I have, both with friends and with family. And so I'm just very grateful for this program, very grateful to have a new way of living, a new way of seeing things, a new way of perspective, and a relationship with a higher power to help guide me. And I'm just very grateful to be here. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Shelley C.R. And just a reminder before we take Freya H., we're on page 74, the first paragraph. If we cannot or would rather not, we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph. And after Freya, I'll be taking some more names. So go ahead, please, Freya H.
Good morning. This is Freya H., compulsive eater bulimic in Colorado. I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak about this paragraph because what it really brings up hearing it is just so much gratitude that I, you know, this page is talking a lot about trying to find the right person or the appropriate person to do a fifth step with. And because I live in the time that I live in and because I have access to 12-step programs, I don't have to look very far. I have so many people who are able to be in this on this journey with me who I can share this step with. And, you know, the idea that I get a closed-mouthed, understanding friend. I have lots of those, and especially that I have people who will understand yet be unaffected. I think that is so, so important because especially in my most intimate relationships, it's like when I have stuff going on with my husband, you know, he is the last person who I should be talking to about those issues, and that I don't have to look any farther than my fellowship, you know, my people who understand what I'm trying to do in this process and who perhaps have experience in relationships of their own that can be useful. So I just really want to say how grateful I am that I have people who are not, you know, people who are close friends in terms of program, but they are totally safe people that I can share with and, you know, when a necessary vent to. And this is so important with the fifth step that I think also with 10 steps, knowing that I can remove myself and I have this entire, you know, this huge community of support that is there for me. And then I can, you know, reenter my life with a new perspective and the support of all those people. And the very last line that a lot of people have been sharing about being hard on ourselves, my margin note says hard equals loving and also the word discipline. That, you know, that I think maybe it's step 9 where the principle is love. But when I see that when I go through this process, this is the most loving thing I can do for myself. So so that it might not be what I want to do. It might be hard, but I can read that as I need to, when I'm hard on myself, that's how I can be loving toward myself because
I'm the one with the program. I'm the one who gets to benefit. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Freya H. Okay, so I'm ready for some more names. Who else would like to share on the first paragraph, page 74?
Leah F.
Leah
Addie
F.
D.
Addie D.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B.
Robin.
Jennifer.
Is that Robin?
Yes,
Donna B.
Donna B.
Jennifer H.
And Jennifer H. Let's stop right there. Great. And Robin, I think you said T, but I'll clarify that when we get there.
Robin.
So, okay, great. Thank you, Robin. Okay, so I have Leah S., Patty D., Julie E. B., Robin T., Donna B., and Jennifer H. So go ahead, Leah H., or Leah S., sorry.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, my name is Leah S. I'm from Brooklyn, recovered, and extremely grateful to be on this line. Step five was one of the most difficult. Believe it or not, step nine wasn't so difficult as step five, because it meant bearing myself and really getting to the nitty-gritty of myself. But it doesn't cease to amaze me. Every time I do another fifth step with another fellow, how I always have that trepidation, that little niggling part. Am I doing it right? Is this the way God wants me to do it? Am I going to be able to get the message across to the other person? That alone is like such an experience for me, that not only am I going through whatever character defects the other person has, but I'm reliving my own, and I'm not only doing that. Yesterday I did another fifth and sixth and seventh, and it just gave me to a new way to a new resolution that I want to do in my life. And it was, not only did I want to do that resolution, but as soon as I hung up, I myself was contemplating, how can I put that into effect? It spurred me on. It just wanted, you know, like, yes, this is something I can implement in my life that is a positive side of developing more relationships with my family. And how did that ever come about? Oh, my goodness. This, if I wouldn't be here to tell you, this is the honest-to-goodness truth. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. Okay, Patty D., you're up, followed by Julie E.B.
Hi. Thank you for your service. This is Patty D., compulsive overeater in Matthews, North Carolina. Oh, it's hard to share this morning, but I felt God pushing me to do this. So a day before I was to celebrate my 6 months of abstinence, I relapsed. It was just a few days ago. So I will be doing another fifth step, and it will be the third time I will do one. And in my morning meditation, I had a chance to listen. And I clearly heard God speak to me about a relationship with my mother. I've been so blessed by the shares this morning, and I've learned something from every single one. And I had a really difficult relationship with my mother. She was mentally ill and emotionally and physically abusive, and probably about over 10 years ago I kind of stopped talking to her because it was so emotionally traumatic for me. And she's still alive. She's 91, and recently I just stopped communicating with her. I used to send her cards and things like that, but stopped doing that. And I realized through some shares also that I've heard on the line, that what I haven't done is forgiven her. And God this morning spoke to me that I need to love. And for me, love doesn't mean exposing myself to hurt, but it does mean forgiveness. And that's what I need to address in my fifth step this time, because I haven't really done that. And I think that's what it means about being hard on ourselves. It means complete honesty. And with God's help, this time, I think I can do that. That's what I have to address. And that's what I need to be abstinent. So thank you for allowing me to share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Patty D. Okay, Julie E.B., your turn, followed by Robin T.
Hi, this is Julie E.B. I'm gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs. I just want to say how, you know, there's just a different process happening here. I was always hard on myself, and some of you have heard me say this before, but I'll never forget when I walked into a 12-step meeting and they said, I always thought I was the flaw, not that I had flaws, that I am a mistake, not that I make mistakes. And this is what the fourth and fifth step are really about. They're about separating from me shame and guilt, this gnawing sense that there's just something wrong with me, and separating that from the fact that I have done things, that I've held resentments against people who really never thought about me at all. And I've held resentments against people in my life without regard, as one of our fellows says, to their needs, wants, or abilities, to what they're able to do. And instead of that, when I get to the being hard on myself with being just truthful, as someone said, about where I'm holding resentment and living in the past, and where I'm holding fear and living in the future, and where I am holding guilt, then I am free, because I share all of it with another. I remember something I was so scared to share, and that person just continuing to look at me with love. It's just a part of life, and I thought it was just me. So I'm breaking down my misery and isolation, and I'm not treating it with misery and isolation today. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Okay, Robin T., you're up, followed by Donna B.
Thank you. Hi, this is Robin P., like Peter, in Vero Beach, Florida. And I'm very grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater today. And thank you so much for this meeting and for all your service. And it's so good to hear everybody. And I just am so grateful to have this family in my life. And I went through, you know, I've gone through the steps a couple of times, and I've taken people through the steps. And I was thinking that it doesn't even matter what the resentments or the fears or the sex conduct are, as long as we're willing to share it honestly and to let go of the character defects. You know, I've worked with a couple of people who, you know, said they wouldn't let go of one because they felt they were right to have that resentment. And I just, you know, what my experience is that if we hold on to anything, you know, I've had so much, I have had self-righteous anger, and it's like I can either be right or I can be happy and recovered. And for me, it's been about just total willingness to really let go and trust being in the care of God. And my husband's he's away for the week with work, and I just get to just, you know, I realize how connected I am to him, and I get to just keep cleaving to God, you know, and to the program, and that God is my higher power. And so, you know, I'm just so glad for this meeting. Oh, my goodness. And I'm also really grateful that I've gone through the steps and that I get to live in 10, 11, and 12 because, you know, my step 10 is really a continuation of 4 and 5. When things come up, I can let them go instead of having a new obsession or a new resentment or a new fear or a new whatever it is. So thank God for these steps and that there's a way out of anything, you know, just the way through. So God bless everybody in your recoveries, and I pray that we all have abstinent wonderful, blessed days today. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Robin P. Okay, Donna B., you're up, followed by Jennifer H.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling in from Denver. My mother was a rageaholic, and when I was growing up, she constantly screamed and yelled and criticized and raged at me. And now I know as an adult, by speaking with her and kind of diving deeper into it with my own healthcare providers, that my mom has no recollection of raging. And that is an indication that when she's yelling and screaming, she may be disassociated and there may be an element of borderline personality disorder. One of the worst things that I do as a parent that evokes the most shame and the most self-lashing and the most is when I lose my temper at my children. And it does happen. It does not happen often. And I am different than my mom. I'm aware when I've lost my temper, and I have a lot of tools and resources available to me to amend the damage that I've done by losing my temper. But this paragraph, we have no right to save our own skin at another person's expense. When I get frustrated with my children, sadly, it's because there's a thought in my mind that they're not good enough. My son isn't social enough. My daughter isn't academic enough. And underneath that is my own fear, is my own inner critic that's yelling at me, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. So it is so important for me to do a 10-step every single time I lose my temper with my children so that I can find where the problem is with me and not with my children. And I just want to reflect for a moment briefly on what's often referred to as the 11th step prayer. There's so many passages here, but that where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. That where there is discord, I may bring harmony. That where there is error, I may bring truth. That where there is doubt, I may bring faith. That where there is despair, I may bring hope. And it goes on and on in that regard. And for me, the fifth step, which shows up in a daily basis on my life through 10 steps, gives me an opportunity to bring repair to where I have caused damage. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Donna B. Okay, Jennifer H., go ahead, please.
Thank you. This is Jennifer H., recovered compulsive overeater in North Alabama. I appreciate everyone's service. And I just wanted to share on this paragraph, the thing that was coming to mind, before I became recovered, it was very hard to know, it was very hard for me to know how anything I did would affect another person. So that's something I'm really grateful for, that I can even have any kind of sense of that today, when it says the rule is we must be hard on ourselves, but always considerate of others. The way I would have, the way my disease would have had me take that that would have put me in self-will, before I was recovered. And the first time I went through the steps, that's what it was. And I kept, when I was telling my fifth step to my sponsor, she would try to help me see what needed to be in the fourth column. And I would say, so what you're saying is I need to do this and this and this. And until finally, she was driving, probably so she wouldn't strangle me, and she had to pull over to the side of the road and say, look, this is not about you perfecting yourself. This is about you getting out of the way so that God can work. And I had no idea what she meant, but I always remembered that. I wrote it down and I remembered it. And so I don't need to take this being hard on myself as me being the one that has to do it. And, you know, but what it kind of was popping up to mean to me today is that it's my inventory, not the other person's. And having that ability today, that's one of the greatest gifts of the program, that, you know, I have some ability now to see what my part is and being able to separate it from their part and not having it be about, you know, what they did. And although when I went through the steps with my sponsor and vision, that first time there, it was very hard to not focus on the other person. So that's where it was helpful that I was only allowed, I think, 10 words in the first column or something like that. But now, you know, I can have that thing of, let me just look at my part and deal with my part and totally disregard the other person's and look at it from an entirely different angle. So hard on myself means I got to be willing to, if in doubt, get it out, tell them. It's hard. And after that first one, I felt so uncomfortable. It was the hardest thing I'd ever done because I'd never been that open and honest and vulnerable with another human being. And I just didn't think people could do that. So I'm really grateful that somehow, I was given the ability to be hard on myself in the sense of doing that hard thing, knowing that because, like you guys said, I knew that it would work. I had seen it work in other people, and I somehow had faith that it would work if I would just keep trudging through it, and that it was going to be, as you guys have said, the gifts that came would be really worth the hard part. So I'm grateful to you guys for being here and all that.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer H. Okay, we have time for one more share. Is there someone else who would like to share for a couple minutes?
Hello, this is Raquel from Israel.
Hi, Raquel. Go ahead, please.
I shared today, but this one paragraph, if you will allow me, really brings up so much how we must be hard on ourselves. I like very much what everybody was saying about the hard, that it's more honest than hard in the direction of self-flagellation, because we've had that enough. And we don't need any more of that. And which reminds me again of the difference between character defects. Both expressions are used, character defects or shortcomings. And when I have somebody come, try to work with me, and they already feel so down on themselves, so badly, then I use the expression shortcomings, which I translate to Hebrew, meaning you've come short, your hands were not long enough to reach far enough to do what other people do. So it's a shortcoming. You came up short with what was needed for the task, which is for us the task of life. And by doing these exercises of doing the steps again and again, you exercise your muscles and lengthen your arms in a metaphoric way that you can be in life, and like it says in step 12, be able to have a spiritual awakening where you can feel and think and act in ways that you couldn't before. And so I like very much the things that were said, like that you have in the first meeting, that you have like thicker ice under me. I have some kind of a foundation. I will fall short again and again. It's a lifetime, it's an education without graduation, all this. But with the fifth step of giving it away, the fact that I gave away fifth step or somebody else to me works very much in the area of humility and acceptance of oneself and seeing the acceptance in somebody else's eyes. And this has tremendous healing effect it had for me. Even when worse character defects, which are still there today, God kind of files them away, files and files at it, like whittling wood and getting rid of things that don't belong there until he'll sculpture out of me, at the end, something closer to what he meant for me to be. But if I have another second, I didn't put a timer on, please guide me, that also to see in this that that
next
I am...
Time,
an, okay, so next time. Thank you for being there, and good recoveries to everybody, and I guess.
Thank you so much, Raquel. Okay, thank you, everyone, for all your fabulous shares this morning. Really excellent meeting. And before, let's see, we're going to say the Serenity Prayer, but please do stay on the line after the Serenity Prayer. But first, we're going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Dawn B., would you please read a vision for you?
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered from Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great things will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.